Welcome, welcome, welcome to Being Black Fathers. I am Ramel, a.k.a. Chief, and I got some special guests today here. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. To my left,
Antoine Castle, Chicago.
To my right,
Andre Castle, Chicago.
Okay, man, we got two black fathers here. Every episode is going to be different. It's whatever the vibe is, man. I'm just going to start out by, like, telling me, like, how was your upbringing? How you come up, like, with your mother and father together? Was, you know what I mean?
I mean, basically, my mother and father was together my whole life.
Okay, you know, cool.
So we had a father. However, you know, pops got caught up in that 80s craze as far as multi-black fathers did. He had caught it. The BS.
Yeah.
And it affected, you know, him being there as much as he should have been. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm leaving it at that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had both parents, man, and just a host of aunts and uncles.
Family environment.
Yeah. Huge family.
Dope. So that was like back in the day, Chicago, not like Chicago now.
Nah, it was back in the day where me and him, you know, they used to go outside and go play.
Mm.
We'd be gone for 6-7 hours.
Peaceful.
You know, you don't come back until, you know what, the sun's gonna come down, and we were straight. No problem. That also came with the areas we was in. We had people that was connected, let's just say that, and nobody was really gonna mess with us like that.
Oh, okay, so that's dope. Yeah, say no more. We know what that means. Say no more. And you, tell us.
Well, that's my big brother, so basically the same thing. Grew up both parents my whole life until my father passed. Big family. Always had somebody to take care of us. Always had somebody to look after us. And yeah, basically the same thing. That's my big brother. So he was watching me, but he knew the lick before I knew the lick. Oh,
okay.
What was going on?
Okay. Both of y'all got kids. We all got kids. That's why it's called being that father. What was the feeling you felt when you saw your first child for the first time?
Not gonna lie, it was, I had a baby girl, my first child, Akira, she 14 right now, 13, about to be 14 this year, and when I first saw her,
Dre, you was young, like,
I was 18.
Okay.
18.
Okay.
She was born before I turned 19, she was born in November, turned 19 in December, but right before she was born, I got into a little trouble with the law. I was just all over the place doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that, messing with over here, over there, over there. I was all over the place. I wasn't in the right mind. But once I seen my girl, once I seen my baby, I promise my whole life changed. Like, from that point forward, I've been a straight arrow. I've been on nothing but straight business, straight money, trying to figure out ways to take care of her any way I knew how, any way I can. And it was, honestly, God, truth, she put so much love in my heart that it's hard for me to go back to doing some of the things that I was doing. Like, I just knew, like, she was my everything. My goal was to raise her the right way with her mother, which we weren't together at the time, but we worked it out, you know, so,
man, that's,
you know, we split our time.
That's what's up. What about you, Twan?
Man, that's hard, man. That was almost damn near 18 years ago now.
Prom baby.
Prom baby. Yeah, she was like, you graduated? Hey, I'm pregnant. Oh, wow. You know what I'm saying? That went like that. So, but, I mean, I ain't gonna lie. I've always, my whole life, I've had to be a little bit more, you know, mature than I really was supposed to be.
Yeah, step up.
So this right here was just like, all right, bet, this is the next step, let's do it, you know, kind of deal. And I mean, don't do, when, I don't know about y'all, but having a baby girl, it, to me, it makes, not make you soft, but you about whatever to make her happy, kind of deal.
That's
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's why I've been there ever since, though. So
that's what's up.
Yeah, by this being my brother, I know that he's a softy when it comes to his girls. Man. But he also has a boy. So you see how the sides change, how he is with his girls and how he is with his boy. But that's the way you have to be. You gotta be a little tough on the boys and you all the girls.
Y'all know when this world ain't giving us nothing.
Yeah.
So you gotta make sure. Well, for me, you think I'm hard. Wait till you see this world. They ain't giving us nothing.
You have no idea.
Man, so, if anybody coming to me about the way I'm coming to my boy, Nah, this world gonna do him way dirtier.
Got him.
It's up to us to show him the way, though. Show him the way and how to get what he want in a positive way.
And he's still young. And, I mean, he be seeing my brother, he drive trucks, and he be seeing him. Dad, that's what I want to do. I'm like, ain't nothing wrong with that. That's good damn money. Go do that. Daddy, I want to work in the warehouse. Nah, son, you got to do, you know what I'm saying? I want you to do better than I'm doing, kind of deal. I'm in the warehouse, you know what I mean?
So, sure enough.
Which, like I said, it's good money in the warehouse as well. So, but I don't want to see my son where I am. I want to see him in somebody's office somewhere running something with a white shirt on and a tie, you know what I mean?
Facts.
So, there's, like I said, there's nothing wrong with it. I just want to see him do way better.
10 times.
That's a fact. It can always be a fallback plan.
I mean,
always.
The warehouse ain't going nowhere, Drake.
Ain't going nowhere.
They gonna be here, B.
Ain't gonna go nowhere. Yeah. I'm new to this podcast, so Chief, I don't know your story, man.
Hey, man. Well, I told you, you can go back and listen to the first episode.
Okay.
I'll give you a little brief description. Like I said, I was born and raised in Griffin, man.
Oh, you're a Georgia boy.
Yeah, okay. I'm a Georgia boy, east side of Griffin, man. Like I told people, I lost my mother when I was 6.
Man.
Yeah, so that right there, like groomed me for life. I mean, I had a different outlook on life at a young age, so to speak.
I can only imagine.
First of all, that's the toughest loss any person, period, can suffer in their life. And for you to do it at such a young age, that's tough, man.
Hey, man, it make you strong.
Yeah,
I mean, you
have to be.
If I be telling people, you don't know how strong you are. You really don't until you actually. How I tell you, man, I can sit out and tell people my life. People like, man, are you serious? Like, yeah, man.
Yeah, he told me a few things.
Yeah, man. And like I say,
you ain't in the crack house.
Right.
I was like, crazy. Yeah, nah. It just made me stronger. I mean,
that's what's up. Cause a lot of people aren't that strong when adversity hits like that. That is the biggest adversity at such a young age. I commend you for that, my man.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man.
No, for real. No bullshit.
No, real shit.
Because I don't know. Like even now, I'm 34, about to be 35. If I lose my mama, I'm gonna be sick, bro. Like I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna try to, continue on. I got kids. I got people to look up to me. But man, that's tough.
That's gonna be a shock.
I tell people though, ain't nothing you can do but deal with it.
You're right. If you want to keep living, you you're right.
There's nothing you can do but deal with it. Yeah, yeah. That's a fact. Okay, so what does being a black father mean to you? What does it mean? Think about what does being a black father to you?
I'll go first. I believe being a black father means more than any other father, because the black man in this country, I don't want to get too Malcolm X-y or nothing like that, you know what I mean? But the black man in this country, we're viewed differently than any other race.
Yeah.
We're viewed negatively. So we have to try that much harder. We have to put more effort. We have to educate our kids with stuff that other races don't have to educate their kids with before they enter this cruel world.
How to deal with police.
No other parent has to deal with that. No other parent has to teach their kids how to deal with being pulled over by the police.
Yeah.
But and also by us being black people, me being a black man and my daughter's black girls, I have to put them ahead of the game. You know what I mean? I don't want them to be on the same step as everybody else. My job is to give them enough knowledge to go into this world and be able to make a footprint on it and make a stamp on it and make their name and be very successful at what they do. It's hard. It's a hard job, but it's a process. It's a continual process. My daughter, she's going to high school now, so now I got to step it up more. Like, I've been doing it, mm-hmm. but now it's time to step it up and really implementing, like, life plans and goals yeah. and start working towards them interests she has and what's her major going to be in college and all stuff like that. It's a hard job. It's a harder job than any other race, but I feel like I'm built for it. I'm ready for that challenge, and I'm gonna prepare my daughter for any challenge she gotta face in this world outside of her immediate family.
That's a blessing just to have your father in your life. A lot yeah. of people don't got that privilege. Yeah.
Especially as us Black people, mm-hmm. that's definitely a privilege to say that you grew up with mother and father in the household. Mm-hmm. No matter what the problem was, no matter what was going on, they were there, they stuck it out, they worked it out, and they made it work for us. Mm-hmm. For us. It wasn't, you know, they probably didn't want to, but they needed to bring up that strong Black family household
yeah.
to make their kids see what they did and try to one-up them. And right. That's our job, is to let our kids one-up us and put them in a position to do something.
Oh, boy. But on top of piggyback on top of what he's saying, the exact same thing, mm-hmm. but what I want to do as far as being a Black father, on top of what he said, exact same sentiments, but what I really want to do is I would like to, I'm working on trying to leave my kids, you know, some generational
wealth. Yeah.
You know, I mean, if it's nothing but a house, mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't start off with a house. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He didn't start off with a house. So if all I can leave my kids is a house, mm-hmm. which I'm still working on other stuff, but if I can leave them something where they can say they ain't starting off from the bottom. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? They can say, you know what? All right, Mom, Pop, thank you for the house. I'm about to sell this joint and I'm about to start this business.
Yeah, yeah.
I need this money to start this trucking company. I need this money to start this food service, whatever the case is.
Yeah.
That's, like I said, to piggyback on him and from what he said, I want to add that. I want to leave them something.
To elaborate on what he said, like to take it to a further step further, it's not only that we want to do it, we're in the process of doing it. Like, it's not just a thought. It's
happening.
It's happening. It is happening right now. We're like, as far as myself, like, I am in the process of starting my own trucking company, working for myself, and building that as big as I can for as long as I can. And when I'm unable to go anymore, I can just say, here babies, here yeah. my I got three girls. Whew, it's tough.
And you know them girls, they go harder. For whatever reason, them girls, they go harder than the boys. I don't know why. Them little girls, dude, they're a little more mature.
Attention to
detail.
Yeah.
And they pay attention. They remember. Mm-hmm. They remember what they saw. They see what their daddies are doing.
And they
work for them.
And they saw your fucking mistakes.
They saw that.
You know what?
Do that.
Nah, I can't be doing that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, them girls, dude, like I said, man, I got one. Like I said, she's about to go to college. We going on top college tour next week.
Okay, that's what's up. Yeah,
definitely going to college tour next week. We did one a couple weeks ago. I'm not gonna lie to you, I was more excited than she was. I'm like, shh, I ain't never did this for myself.
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't.
And that's what makes it so you gotta capture that moment, man.
Yeah. I didn't have no dreams of going to college. I had dreams, but it wasn't like I said, I had a baby straight out of high school, so I gotta get to work, make this money.
If
I can have their life better, show them like, hey, ain't no kids finna come out no time soon. We gotta get this ball rolling. We gotta get this plan started. And I'ma like coach them through their whatever plan they wanna do, whatever their goals is, coach them through that. Support them in whatever they wanna do.
Yep.
You gotta
and
do it, yeah.
Financially, physically, mentally,
that's
all that. And like I said, if they plan on work, I got something for you. Mm-hmm. Whatever I have, mm-hmm. once I'm done, this is yours. You take it. Either you can run this business, you can continue the quote-unquote legacy, or you can, like you said, sell this business and start your own. Yeah, I have no problem with that.
And the crazy thing is, like, is my kids, like Naya, she's my oldest, she's headstrong. Like, she's headstrong, but she's still a female. So you got those emotions.
Emotions, yeah.
And dude, I, like, today she came to the room crying. I didn't know what that was about. I didn't know. I'm confused. She woke me up out of my sleep. What's wrong, baby? I'm rubbing her back. What's wrong? She didn't want to talk about it. You know, I didn't press her. You know, this is a girl thing. But those females, dude, I promise you, my girls, all these girls, they gonna take whatever we freaking start, and I guarantee
take it to the next level.
It's going to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And if, like you said, the trucking business, I'm looking at, I really, my passion is cooking. Mm-hmm. I just like to see people, you know what I'm saying, when I cook, you know,
their reaction.
I like people like, yeah, man, that was good kind of deal. Mm-hmm. You know, but I want to start off small, little sandwich truck. I was telling, but Brittany, if we do, tour subs, mm-hmm. we start doing some little tourist cold subs.
Mm.
You ain't even got to really, you got a little fake food truck, you know what I mean? All you need is a refrigerator.
Right, ain't really no cooking.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm making here.
Right.
And yeah. then I'm going to put it in the food mm-hmm. truck. So
yeah.
So that's one thing that I got on my agenda. The other thing is, I want to start a trucking broker service to piggyback on his trucking business. So, so you got the truck, bro. So, look, this is what we're going to do. It's a lot of different things that we're working on.
That's dope.
What he just said, those are going to happen. Those are not, but it's a work in progress, but the progress is being made and it's going to happen.
Our wives, they in the process of working for what's it called?
Exactly.
A medical facility. Yes. You know, his wife is the pharmacist.
Oh,
you know, my wife is in HMIS. I got to get that right.
I don't know what it
is. But listen, human something is, it's basically, it's like medical building and coding, but it's like a couple steps up.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little more in depth than that.
Okay. And then on top of that, with my wife and his wife, my wife's mother is finna be a nurse.
Mm.
So you can bring all them together. Dope. That's gonna be a powerhouse.
Dude, so if we need, think about it. If they get the when they get the facility up and running, he's running the product to him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm setting up the loads on this end. It's
Our kids have jobs. If they want to work,
pretty much,
our kids
and it's
have
all
jobs.
In the family.
Right.
It's all
right.
In the family.
And once we done with it, hey, okay, our daughters or his son, they see what we doing. They be like, okay, I like what you're doing. I want to do that.
Yeah.
Go to school for it. Go to school, get your degree for it. Then when you're done, you come back and work here. Then when they're done, when we want to retire, this is yours.
This is
yours.
And the other thing about that is too, I'm not, my son, my daughter, I'm not pushing you. You ain't got to do this.
No.
You can make your own path.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So if that's what you want to do over here,
sell it.
No, what I'm saying is, okay, you want to go to school and you want to start this business or whatnot, you ain't got to sell it. You could just probably get a loan off this business
and
to create your new business. So you got two businesses running at the same time.
Okay, to lighten it up a little bit, I want to ask y'all, what's the funniest thing you ever seen one of y'all kids do?
I'm going to let him go first because I know he got his on back.
I don't. I can't think
right
now.
When Kira ran into the door.
Oh.
He got his already.
I was living in Maryville, Indiana at the time.
Maryville,
Indiana. We had caught a cheap little lick on getting an apartment out there. So we caught the lick, but when we moved out there, it was 4th of July. I like getting the fireworks for the kids, let the kids have a good time with the fireworks. His daughter hates fireworks. So we end up, we had a little balcony, we was on the first floor. We had a little balcony joint, you know, I had a screen sliding door. So his daughter, I started lighting off fireworks. She said, no, monkey. And she ran. She's running full speed. She hit that goddamn screen, bounced off. That was the funniest thing I've seen.
Ooh, like the Windex commercial, remember? Yeah.
When she bounced off that thing and hit the ground, I died. I couldn't even go and see if she was okay first, because it was just that funny. I'm sorry.
Because she's scared of fireworks.
She didn't like the loud pow,
pow, pow.
She ate them.
That's crazy.
But yeah, that was
the only thing she liked is sparklers. You know, sparkler when she was a kid, she going crazy with that. But the she did not like that at all.
That's dope. That's dope. Kids, man. I'm going to tell you some funny things. Like, my son, like, I remember one day I come home from work tired. This was the time I was working two jobs. So when I come in, I feed him. I come in bright and early in the morning. He a baby at this time. I put him in front of the TV to watch cartoons. So I said, man, let dad get like an hour and a half. I need like an hour and a half. I'm tired. So I go lay down. All my kids, for some reason, they keep bothering me when I'm asleep, keep off my eyelids.
Yeah, just keep they do it. That's what they do.
Like, daddy, what you doing? I'm asleep. You feel me? Like, well,
you don't see that?
He just keep coming back and forth messing with me. So once, this last time he come get in bed, to get up under me. So I'm hugging him, and I get the feeling, and I see he ain't got no pamper on. So I'm like, instantly wake up. Dude, where's your pamper? He just laughing. So I get up, go in his room. I see the pamper sitting in the middle of the floor. He done took his hands, took the boo-boo in the pamper, and just wiped it off all the wall.
No.
And he just laughing. Like, it's funny to him. And I'm really looking at him like, dude, I want to knock you out, dude. But he think it's so funny, though.
You lucky you my son.
Yeah. Like, dude, I really want to just hit you in your chin right now. You think it's funny. Like, that I'm like, ooh, I really want to, yeah. You tripping. I said, oh, yeah, it's really time you get on this toilet, bro.
That's funny, because that's some movie stuff right there. Yeah. That's definitely he had some movie stuff.
30 Day High, and he just cracking up. Like, it was just the funniest thing ever to him.
It was another time. Like, we kept wondering, like, somebody is taking my son out the crib.
That was my story about your son.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like, I was, after the Maryville, he had bought a crib in Stager, Illinois, right out south suburbs of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm standing there, and I'm knowing Lil Twan, that's his son named Lil Twan, knowing this guy sleep. Knowing he sleep, but he had just come pop up in front of me for some reason.
So he would come downstairs?
Yes. I'm like, dude, what are you doing here? Like, how did you get out? So one day, we figured it out. Put him in the bed, he was asleep. He woke up. We heard him wake up, so we went to look in it, just peek in the room. This little monkey ninja. It was a dresser right by his crib. He would climb onto the dresser and use the dresser as steps to climb down.
Hey, smart,
and
though.
Get him out of there. I'm like, this little ninja monkey dude.
Smart.
Dude, and we kept wondering, because I thought somebody was playing on me. Like, you know, stop playing me, dude. Like, somebody's taking this boy out the crib.
Has to.
He can't get out the crib by himself. So, dude, because I think we peeked in on him. We had, like, open the door, hit the light, and he was doing his ninja thing, coming down the dresser. Like, man, this dude can't be real. This is TV, internet stuff.
Kids, man, I'm telling you, they cease to major. Where them jokers would always do some major. You'd be like, man, what made you think of that? Or what made you do that? That jump be funny, man. That's why I love, like I told people, when I framed my kid, my daughter looked just like my mom. That's how I knew she was mine. And my son looked just like my father, lanky and everything, just like him.
Boy, that's why I tell her, because our genes are strong from my side. Mm. So I tell, my baby mothers, and my baby mother, and then my wife, but if they don't start to look like me, it ain't mine. If they don't look like me, it ain't mine.
Yeah.
Because our genes are real strong, man. Like, it's...
So, you know, your kid's like a grandma. You know how a grandma look at it, yeah, this our child.
Yeah. I know, that's yours. He looked just like your uncle.
Yeah, that's what's dope. That's dope. Okay, what's the best advice you can give to your kids about life, period? The best advice.
Go ahead and get the school thing right. Get the school thing right. And keep your credit straight. Because my daddy told me that But I thought, I'm 17, 18, you know what I mean? I'm not thinking about it right, you know what I mean? I'm thinking, oh, this nigga just hating, he don't know what he's talking about kind of deal. Mm-hmm. But, you know what I'm saying? Get that little bravado I had, you know, but nuts just dropped, you know. Yeah.
You think you really know everything.
You think I don't? So he was telling us, don't mess your credit up. Don't mess it up. And that's them two things, man. Just go ahead and do the school thing. Whether it be only, all you want to do is high school, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. You want to do high school and then, like I'm telling my son, like, he only 13. I'm like, look, son, you need to, let's keep all options open. Like,
yeah.
Let's look at, what's it called? Let's look at these apprenticeship programs.
Yeah.
Let's check out plumbing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's look at electrician. Let's look at brick masons. I mean, all these kind of things. Now, I'm telling them that because you got to think about it, dude. You 18 and you hit the job market and they starting off with $16 an hour.
Sure enough.
$16. By the time you're done, you're making 30 or 40.
Sure,
I got a buddy who making $40-something an hour as an electrician. And that's in Chicago. Out here is less. It's less out here. So if he came out here as a journeyman, he would make less. But anyway, like I said, what you really making $30-something an hour at? I mean, you got people who went to college that making $30-something an hour.
Right.
Let's be real about it. So I'm trying to keep my son, I'm telling him, look, dude, keep your... Cause I already know, cause that's what I was gonna do. I was gonna go into the electrician program. That was my plan coming out of high school. This was before I had kids and all that. I knew this is what I'm doing. Nah, college, kiss my ass.
Hmm.
I'm going here, start off making 16, go to school. You know what I'm saying? You be on the road, be out in the field for 2 days, be in school 3 days, and I'm making $16 an hour, 8 hours a day? Come on, man, I need that. But it didn't work out that way.
Yeah.
It didn't work out that way. I mean, which everything happened for a reason, so I'm not really too mad about it, but.
Yeah, everything gonna work itself out. It always do.
I'm definitely telling him, listen, son, don't waste, because right now, like I said, I mean, which is still early, he's not seeming, just like I was, he's not looking like a kid that's a school kid.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? My daughters, they with it. They great at school.
Girls usually are, you know.
But he's just like me. Like, I wasn't, but I was a little bit better than him. I wasn't bad. I was a class clown, brother. Mm. You know what I mean? So I liked it.
Distraction.
You know what I mean? I liked it to make everybody laugh. When I was third or fourth grade, dude, I had a...
You supposed to reach your wife and I come in.
When we, yeah, like I said, man, I was a class clown my whole school career. I mean, it was like third or fourth grade. I should be doing stand-up or something like that, or acting or something. But anyway, third or fourth grade, I used to have, like, we had... I went to a small little school in Chicago. Mm-hmm. The first one I went to was a small school. I think it only went to like fifth grade. But we had lunch in the classroom.
Mm.
So we used to eat lunch and then everybody used to come around the table where I was at. I used to just tell jokes. You know what I'm saying? Just make people laugh, man. I want everybody to have a good time, man. I want
everybody to feel good. That's your calling for real.
It probably is, man. Mm-hmm. To be totally honest, man, Chief, I really don't know.
Yeah. That might be your calling. You might should just try it out on like an open mic night or something like that. Just give it a chance.
I gotta get some material together, but you're right.
Yeah, you never know.
I gotta get some material together.
Yeah. All right. What's the best thing about being a father in your opinion? What's the best thing about it? Watching them grow up, whatever.
Nah, just seeing them like, all right, they used to the everyday stuff. You get your dinner, you get this, that, and third. Like, mm-hmm. Just me, when I, you know what I'm saying, when I think about it and I surprise them with certain things and they, oh, and then especially my baby girl, I'm like, you're the best dad ever.
Mm-hmm.
So just me being able to give my kids, you know, the excitement. But I'm not gonna say that we didn't have it, but not as often as they get it.
Right.
They don't get it as often as we do, as we did.
That's dope, though.
No, I'm sorry. They get it more. Way more than
more,
we
do. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, that's dope.
We might have got it right around tax time. A little settlement check and stuff. I don't know. We got it, dude. Like I said, I'm not gonna sit here and say my parents didn't provide for us, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because they did. It just was tight. Everything was tight, you know what I mean? They had to pay these bills, pay that bill, pay this bill, and you know, and we had got food stamps at one point, you know what I'm saying? And we was getting you don't know nothing about going to Aldi's, boy. That was an exciting day.
Hey, Aldi's the going there,
what you know about Aldi's with them food stamps? My nigga, we come home, boy, I didn't care. I'm walking in, pat my friend. Look, dude, I'm going to take groceries in the house.
We used to look, I always go get them long packs of Reese's and Aldi's. I love them Reese's, man.
Man, I got some of them upstairs right there.
Yeah, it's like my favorite candy. For real, Reese's.
Nah, I get down and I put them in the freezer.
Oh, hell yeah.
Put them in the freezer?
Yeah, hell yeah. It's a done deal after that. Hell yeah. Let me ask you, was you afraid of and was you prepared to be a father?
I wasn't afraid of being a father. I wasn't prepared, though. Yeah. I know I wasn't prepared. Like, I mean, dude, what I was... At that point, when she had told me she was pregnant, don't get me wrong, in my heart, I was super happy, like, to be a dad kind of deal, but with me not having no real, you know what I mean, income.
Right. That was scary. Yeah. Right.
I was making like $6.45 or something an hour.
Nothing.
So yeah, I was making like $6.45 and man, it was rough. It was tight. So, me and her mother, at the time, well, her mother, we combined to make maybe $14 an hour.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it was tight, man. And I mean, like I said, I had that family. You know what I'm saying? That had to help me out. Yeah. If I had that, dude, it would have been
rough, huh? Yeah,
it'd have been straight to the projects, for real, for real. Uh-huh. We lived in the projects.
Yeah.
Me and our mother, we moved out and was in the projects and kept looking at me crazy. I'm a little dude. Man, fam, I ain't on none of that.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to go ahead and go home and
that's it.
And go to work. That's it. So, and them cats, like I said, after a while, in the project, they was like, that's old boy. He's staying, what was it? 112. He's staying 112, man. Nah, that dude just go to work. He don't
bother nobody.
He ain't on that.
All right, yeah. And before we end this, if your kids, just imagine they listening to this 10 years down the road. Is it a message you want to get them?
Basically, I'm trying, man, and I'm trying my best. So, and I want to leave y'all something with some value when I leave. If nothing else, it's like I told you, keep your credit together. Keep just be a good person. Just be a good person, and everything gonna fall in place for you. And then that's how I feel about life. If I'm a good person, I feel like everything come back around. So if I'm a dick, you know what I mean? If I'm constantly being a dick to everybody, that's gonna come back to me.
Yeah, you're right.
But if I'm a good person, I could die, and I feel like my legacy would be, Twan was a good dude,
right,
kind of deal. I don't want to be that person with luck. I'm glad that nigga did. That's what I don't want to be. Like, I just want to be that person like Twine. He tried to help. It's that and the third. That's it.
So, well, again, for coming out here and doing this podcast, I'd like to thank you too, bro.
Appreciate no problem, man.
Okay, yeah, before we end, because you had left out, I asked Twine if it's anything. Like, your kids gonna hear this 10 years down the road. Is there any message you want to leave for them?
Wow. Babies, I got y'all back. Whatever y'all want to do, your daddy is here for you, helping you, guiding you. Any resource you need that I have, you have it. I love you, and let's be successful together.
That's what's up. And I'd like to thank y'all for tuning in and listening to Being Black Father. I'd like to thank my guests, Twine, and let them know your name again.
Andre.
Andre, that's Twine, brother. They look just alike. I'd like to thank y'all again for being a part of this, man. I appreciate this, y'all sitting down with me, taking this time out. You know what I'm saying?
No just problem, man. You talking about something that I love. I love my girls. I love being a father, so... this was no problem.
That's what's dope, man. I appreciate it again. Like I said, it was Being Black Father, and I'm Chief out.